Hallelujah. The screensaver on my computer in my office is a picture of Judy and Josh, Jake, and I on a roller coaster. And the boys seem indifferent. Judy's happy. I'm screaming, as was often the case. And Judy, I think she'd actually find it rather entertaining to go on roller coasters just for that reason. She'd laugh at me screaming a lot of the time. I'm not as brave as she. One of our favorite vacation places is to go to Florida, to Kissimmee, to a Disney World, and if you've been there, you can appreciate why. Our whole family loves to just wander throughout the grounds and take in all the sights, the ambiance, the screaming, the food. And when it comes to rides, our favorite is roller coasters. I love roller coasters. I've been on every one. I can't walk past one without going on it. I have to go on it. And I will continue to scream. And plus, I'm claustrophobic, so that doesn't help either, you know. It shouldn't be a problem because they're usually wide open, right? Roller coasters are, you know, out there, everywhere, spread all over. In fact, when we went to Knott's Berry Farm, I thought it was a farm. If it's a farm, they're growing roller coasters there. It's all roller coasters. The whole place is just endless roller coasters, and they've got this big wooden trestle-type roller coaster, and you're thinking, that can't be safe. But we went on it, and it was the most popular one of all. It was, you know, old school, it's bringing you up, and then, ah! And it's great fun, and it sways a little, you know, and yet, well, they continue to run that roller coaster. They're fun. My favorite, and the one we have a picture of, is the Rockin' Roller Coaster. Not rotten. Rockin' Roller Coaster at Disney World. And like I say, I'm claustrophobic. And pretty much every roller coaster you get on, every ride we get on, and Judy was saying it to me this morning, she says, please remain seated. Well, that's a good idea. You're getting on a roller coaster, and they need to tell you, please remain seated. Keep your arms and legs within the, you know, in your head. Well, yeah. And then they drop this great, you know, apparatus over you that holds you in real tight. And I'm thinking, I just need a little room, okay? A little room. And then the guy comes and clicks it one more. So, can't breathe. But at the same time, I'm okay with that because I'm thinking, I want to keep all my arms and legs in. And the rest of me. And then it's they say again, please remain seated. Well, sure. Like I couldn't get up if I wanted to. I am locked down hard. I'm glad. I'm very secure. My sense of security overrules my fear of being claustrophobic. The anxiety of not being held in would be worse than being held in at that moment. I'm super glad for that. And so then they of course, like I say, please remain seated at all times. You just locked me in like a straitjacket. How exactly could I get up? And this machine, now you're sitting there at that rockin' roller coaster in the starting position. It's going to go 100 kilometers per hour in 2 seconds. Like, boom, it's just, you're not going, and then you're really going. I mean, you're pulled back. You have no other option. It's not like, oh, excuse me, I think I'll pop out now, halfway through. And it goes through all kinds of loops and upside downs and all sorts of things like that. And it is a thrill. I love it very much. And we usually get off and run back to the front of the line and go again. In fact, one year we went, and it wasn't busy at all this one day, and Judy and I think we went on it 3 times in a row, at least. Our boys quit on us. We'll hang out here. And I have to say, I'm pretty sure it was 3, maybe 4 times in a row, and I was done, and Judy still wanted to go, and was saying to the boys, hey, anybody? Anybody? But that's just what a great time it is to be doing that. What is true about roller coasters, however, is not always true about life. We don't always think about the advantage of remaining seated spiritually. In Ephesians, Paul talks about how, as followers of Christ, we have been seated in Christ in heavenly places. In fact, let's go there. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. That's after the Colossians. There it is. Or, pardon me, after Galatians. Ephesians 2, 1. Praying, as you're finding your place, Ephesians 2, verse 1. Holy God, we ask your blessing, your anointing, your help. You have given us truth, and your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut through, right to the bone, in fact. And Lord, we want very much for your word to be effective in us, and we ask you that you give us ears to hear, and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying, what you are saying through your word, your wonderful word. It's life to me. In Jesus' name, amen. And you were dead. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, which you formerly walked in according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. What a dead man I was. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We were no better. That's what Paul's saying. He says, they, nasty as they are, you were too. And some struggle still. But God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And Christ raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We have been seated in Christ in heavenly places. Please remain seated. Amen? Because we don't fully appreciate what that really means, we are tricked by Satan into getting up in our own strength instead of staying seated in Christ. So what does it mean to be seated in Christ in heavenly places? Let me give you some thoughts. We are united with Christ. We are not seated merely near Christ. Isn't that nice? We're seated near him. He's within range. No, we're not seated near or beside Christ. We are in Christ. That is significant. In Christ. Our best days, our worst days, we are in him and he in us. God's word has many places where it says just that. Jesus said in John 14, in that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. What a closeness. Christ in his Father, we in Christ, he in us. What a thing. It is one thing to profess being a Christian, and it's altogether another thing to be possessed in Christ. We can profess to anything, but we are possessed by Jesus. Hallelujah. That's a big deal to me. And to you, I'm sure. Paul speaks of Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith in Ephesians 3:17. In John 4:15, we read, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. And he speaks of the mystery in Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a chorus that we try to sing. It's a challenge. It's got quite a range. It's not a challenge in believing it, not a challenge in living it. It's a challenge in trying to sing it as it is written. But here are the words for you. God in my living, there in my breathing. God in my waking, God in my sleeping, God in my resting, there in my working, God in my thinking, God in my speaking. You get it? Everything. Be my everything. Be my everything, it repeats. And then it goes on, God, in my hoping, there in my dreaming, God, in my watching, God, in my waiting, God, in my laughing, there in my weeping, God, in my hurting, God, in my healing. Be my everything. Christ in me, the hope of glory, you are everything. Christ in me, the hope of glory, be my everything. God, in my sleeping. I woke up this morning out of a dream about being on some strange apparatus. I think it was not a roller coaster, but I was suspended in the air along with a bunch of men from this church, strangely enough. What a weird prayer. And I hadn't looked at my sermon notes or anything since Friday, I'll be honest. I took the day off yesterday to attempt building something, not well. And I woke up this morning from a dream, and it never occurred to me at first, God in my dreaming and in my sleeping was showing me something. We were in flight. Now, this is not doctrine. Don't take this home and say, well, this is what we ought to believe. But there is a picture here, an application, I think, of sorts. And here we are, gentlemen. We are all suspended in the air going somewhere, going to our destination. I would like to think going to Christ, going to be with him. And for whatever reason, I decided to get out in the air. We were all suspended in flight, and then I'm walking on the edge of this thing, not realizing the danger I'm in. You're all still seated, smarter than me, obviously, and I'm walking around the edge of this thing thinking, this is different. And then I slipped, and now I'm hanging on like that. I'm hanging on for dear life. I wish I was seated at that moment. I'm not kidding. That was a dream. And then I only had one hand holding on. I woke up. Folks, that's a good time to wake up. Get back in the seat. Get back in the seat. Don't walk around the edge. Don't see how close to the edge and how far from Christ you're allowed to get. You will slip. You will fall, and then you'll be hanging on by the skin of your teeth. I tell you, that was foolish of me, even in a dream, but I think the Lord was speaking to me. And it didn't occur to me for a moment until I'm brushing my teeth, I'm going, oh, I thank you, Lord. That was good. Thank you for reminding me. God is my everything. See, God wants to manifest himself in you, in the believer. God of the universe does not merely want to dwell in you. He desires to be revealed in you. Christ in you. See, it cannot be measured. Christ in you cannot be measured by the scientific mind. It's a spiritual matter. It would be like trying to measure love. You can't say, see, there is love. Measure it, weigh it, that's love. And your love is bigger or better than this love or that love or is less love. You can't do that. It's unquantifiable. The truth can only be experienced. Christ in me. You cannot say, look, see, measure Christ in me. You can only say, look at Christ working in me. Look at the results. Look at the difference. And that's a testimony. That's a witness. That's a proclamation of saying, I believe, I have seen, I have experienced Christ in me. And that's the way God has chosen to do it, to reveal himself. That's why we sing, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Christ in me is best described through our personal testimony. We witness to the nature and the character of Christ as he lives in each of us. He is present in our inner lives. It has been said thusly, I do not have to ascend to heaven to find him, nor descend into the depths to bring him up. Neither have I to go on long pilgrimages to find him. Christ in me, in you. It's proved by the experience of Christ. Christ in you is a great miracle, a great mystery. The fact on which all other facts of Christianity are based. We are also complete in Christ. 2 Peter verse 1, or verse 3 of chapter 1, we read, His, Christ's divine power has given us everything we need for life and goodness. Everything we need for life and goodness. That would be complete. We require nothing more. All we need is provided through Christ. Thank you, Lord. We are complete in Him whether we believe it or not. All we lack, Christ freely offers. Seeing His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. And it goes on, For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Well, listen to the precious and magnificent promises granted to those seated in Christ. At verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Now for this very reason also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. That's what we need. That's exactly what we need. We are complete in Christ. And we have authority in Christ. If we are seated in Christ, and where is He seated? On the throne. Amen? And if He is seated on the throne, it is not a stretch to suggest that we are seated on the throne. And so we have authority, and this is not, like I say, a stretch by any means. We share His throne, and we will rule and reign with Him. All authority is given unto me, Jesus says. All authority is given unto me, and behold, I give it to you. Matthew 28:18. Matthew 16:19. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whosoever thou shalt loose on earth, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again he says, Verily I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth is bound in heaven. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. All authority in heaven and on earth is Christ's to give and ours to receive. That's why we pray in His name. In His name, we say that. It is His authority we speak of. It is not a magic formula or a secret phrase that obligates God to do what we want. It literally means we ask in His name, invoking the authority that has been extended to us by Christ Jesus. He said so, and it is so. You shall do this. Again, we read in John 15, Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We have zero authority apart from him. You can do nothing apart from me, he says. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. We can agree. We have authority in Christ. Amen. And we have victory in Christ. Christ has already conquered death and the grave. He is the victor, and we are in Him. That is why Romans says we are more than conquerors. No matter what life or Satan or whatever throws at us, we understand that we are victorious in Christ. even as the battle rages. Yes, you're going through things, but please know, we are overcomers. We are victorious. We are a conquering people, not a conquered people. Amen. Jesus said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And he said, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. The King James Version says it this way, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, it says. Be of good cheer, Christian. We have victory over sin and death in Christ Jesus. He has triumphed over the grave. I thought so. Put amen there. He has triumphed over the grave. I know. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, having finished the work. And that is why we sing, up from the grave he rose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. That's how we sing it. That's how we believe it. And we are at rest in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for rest. The reason we are seated in Christ is because Christ is seated. He finished the work he came to do, and we find rest in what he has already accomplished. In fact, there's one place in particular I can think of where he is not seated after the resurrection, after going up. It's when Stephen is being stoned to death, when he is being martyred, having preached the word. And Stephen says, behold, I see Christ. Behold, I see Jesus standing. Well, Jesus was standing and receiving Stephen to himself. What a thing. What a glorious thing that he stood up for Stephen. That is significant, ladies and gentlemen. But Jesus is sitting and is at rest. And you can rest and trust that God does all things well. And he will finish what he has begun. He will complete that which he has set out to do. Absolutely. Be still and know that I am God, he tells us. He is on the throne. He is sovereign. He is in control. He is our redeemer. He is our advocate. He is our propitiation. He is our defender. He is our conquering king. He is Lord of all. And he causes all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his promise. That is why the writer of Hebrews encourages us, make every effort to enter into that rest. What a joyous thing, that rest. It's not a slumber or a sleep. It's not an extended nap. That rest is glory. That rest, that ultimate rest, is heaven. As the roller coasters return to deliver its riders to safety, I often hear the warning, please remain seated until the ride has come to a complete stop. That too is a good idea. While it's buzzing about, you really can't get out of your seat and you don't want to. But you also do not want to get out until it's time, until you have been released. And it is time. I want to encourage you, each one of you, to remain seated in Christ. You know, we often begin our walk with Christ very well, strong, faithful, passionate. But maybe sometimes as we get older, we relax our beliefs, our passion maybe recedes some. Have a seat. Remain seated. Our Lord sees how exhausted you get standing in your own strength, striving under your own power. Remember, you can do nothing outside of him. But in Christ, He offers us rest. Why do we hesitate to take him at his offer? Pride? Fear? Like I said, like riding a roller coaster, you are well advised to be properly seated and secure, safe, and remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Let's bow our heads. Holy God, I see your word in this. I see your truth in this. Of course. Lord, many of us have started to wander off and to relax our belief in you. We have tried to do things in our own strength, and that is folly. Oh, but Lord, we want so very much to be seated in you, to recognize the rest you offer, the victory, the authority. Thank you for that. We thank you that you have completed us and you will continue to do so as you perfect us in you. So God, if there be anything in us, any foolish thing, because it would be pure foolishness, that would suggest that we can do it in our own strength, reveal it to us. That we would be well seated in you, and you in us, and you in the Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for that security and all of the promises that come with it. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen, amen, hallelujah. And Pastor Judy and I are going to attempt, and Terry are going to attempt that song that we sung on occasion before, Be My Everything. So why don't we stand together, and it's simple to sing. We can do this. Let's sing together, stand together.
As Dan was talking about being seated in grace this morning.
Hallelujah.
It was a Thursday, we were having prayer in here, and I just was struggling with something, and I said, God, I am just so weak. Hallelujah. And I was just so upset because I'm so weak in one area, and as I was praying, I looked over and I saw that banner, my grace is sufficient for you, yeah. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I understood, you know, I may not be able to do everything, but God can, amen?
Amen.
We just have to sometimes fall on him and stop trying to do it our way.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And even as I confessed, this is a hard song for me to sing and play for whatever reason. So, Lord, I can't do this.
In our weakness, Lord.
In my weakness. But what if you just go ahead and do this for us this morning and help us to sing it? But don't make it a song. It's not a chorus. It's a prayer. Amen. Amen.